heal those who are. All right, well, thank you for praying with me. I have some scripture for us this morning. We didn't read scripture. Well, this morning we sang a song, I Am Who I Say You Say I Am. We sang it actually last week as well. And I often think that we live in a world that tries to tell us who we should be, tries to squeeze us into their mold, tries to tell us what we think, but rarely do we hear who God says we are. This morning is going to be one of those times where we do see that. And in fact, you often hear me say this phrase that you see on the screen, the church is the hope of the world. And when you start to think about that statement, well, that's a pretty bold statement. After all, the church is made up of all kinds of people from all walks of life who have all kinds of flaws. In fact, if you wanted to, you could go to any church, any time, any place, and you'd be hard-pressed to find one church who gets everything right. You'd be hard-pressed to find one church where everyone is using their gifts to serve and to build up one another. You'd be hard-pressed to find one church where everyone is bearing one another's burdens. And you'd be hard-pressed to find one church who is loving their neighbors as Jesus loves us. Oh, you'd find some pretty good churches. You find some great churches. But most of the time you discover that the majority of churches are filled with ordinary people with everyday struggles who sometimes get it right, but most of the time are just doing the best they can. And yet, I'm not the only one who believes that the church is the hope of the world. Do you know who else believes this? You guessed it, God does. God believes in you. God believes in us. That's why when he saved you by the gospel of Jesus Christ, he included you in the most unique community ever conceived, a community of people chosen by him to be the hope of the world. How do I know this? Well, this is what we're going to uncover today as we look into how the gospel changes our relationships with one another. From 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. For it is from these verses we're going to look at what each of us share in common as God's people and how this makes us, as God's people, the hope of the world. You see, we live in a day where people are kind of down on God's church. Many no longer see its relevance and have rejected church. They don't even participate. Others say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. And others see the church as something that's there to serve them and not the world. But what we're going to look at this morning should serve to remind us that the church is the one community that actually exists for the benefit of those who are not yet in it. The church is the hope of the world. So if you found 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, let's read what God says about us, his church. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So what do we share in common that makes us the hope of the world? Well, first of all, we share a common race, a common heritage. God's word says you are a chosen race. Now, let me be clear about this. We don't choose God. God chooses us. In other words, as his people, his church, we are a select group. I mean, you ever go to the grocery store and you see that section where there are these select products? Those are the best products. And that's who we are. We are selected by him. And yet this phrase was first used by God in Isaiah 43:20 to identify the people of Israel. God chose Abram to create a people for himself. So today, the Jewish people share a common heritage due to their connection with Abraham. And you've heard this term used of Israelites. They call themselves the chosen people. And yet here we see that God says of us, his church, you are a chosen race. Now herein now lies the difference between the chosen people of God in the Old Testament and the chosen people in the new, the chosen race in the new. The Jews, well, they were physically descendant from Abraham. They were a chosen race by virtue of their bloodline. Kind of like how some of you in your bloodline, you're English or German or French. You know, I'm a variety of those things. I'm Swedish and English and Scottish. In fact, a couple years ago, I found out that I had some Scot in my bloodline. And I love that because, well, Scotland is the home of golf. But that's just a connection by virtue of race, by bloodline. We, the church, who follow Jesus Christ, we are now God's chosen race by virtue of our spiritual descendancy with Abraham. This is not blood, but it is spirit. Listen to how Paul states this in Galatians 3:29. He says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When God's word says that the moment you put your faith in Jesus, you were born again spiritually. This is a spiritual reality, a spiritual fact. And Peter makes this fact known to us in the previous chapter when he writes, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. See, this is how God chose you to be part of a new spiritual race that he is creating in the church. He included you in this race by your spiritual birth in Christ. You could not birth yourself spiritually. God's word says you are dead spiritually. This is something that God had to do, and God did this when you called on the name of Jesus. In fact, now, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus, anyone who believes Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, is now part of this new spiritual race, where now there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So this is what we share in common. We share the same spiritual DNA. Each one of us share a spiritual bond with every other believer in the Holy Spirit. His Spirit indwells us. His Spirit connects us. His Spirit makes you and I brothers and sisters of Christ. And you have been chosen by God to be part now of what God is doing in the world, you see, to break down barriers that divide other people. So, you see, if there is ever a time when God being part of God's chosen race is relevant, it's right now. For as God's chosen race, as God's chosen people, we can include, accept, or befriend anyone who is not like us. We in His church are no longer separated by the color of our skin, by our economic status, or our intellectual ability, or even our moral behavior. For by choosing you, God ended all the things that divide us. That's one reason why the church is the hope of the world, because we exist. There is now a new community that exists in the world where people can be accepted just as they are. The church reveals this new kind of acceptance that our world desperately needs today, that our world is longing for today, because as God's chosen race, we are now all the same at the foot of the cross. No one is better than anyone else because we are all equal in Jesus. That's what God did for us by uniting us in Christ, by giving us the spiritual birth. That's one way that God changes our relationships with one another and makes us the hope of the world. But here's the next one. Here's the next thing we share in common. We share a common royalty. We are a royal priesthood. Now, this is something that God makes you. The moment you trust in Jesus Christ, God makes you royalty with Jesus. He puts you on equal footing with Jesus. See, Jesus is the Messiah. He is our King. And one day, He will reign over all. And one day, you and I will reign together with Him. I mean, listen to how what is prophesied about us and our connection with Jesus in this royal connection in the book of Revelation. Speaking of Jesus, God's word says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, and people and nation. And you have made them, he's talking about us now, to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I need this reminder. Sometimes it seems we have no power, no clout, or control of what's going on in our world today. I do not like having my freedoms restricted by this pandemic. I understand these restrictions, but I don't have to like them. I don't like it in our culture today when evil is called good and good is called evil. And I can't handle the reality of thinking of one more baby being aborted by a culture who thinks that's something good to do. However, when I am reminded that I am one of God's royal subjects, that I am on equal footing with Jesus, I am reminded of two things. The first is this. This world is not our home. See, we're part of God's kingdom, not this world. And one day, there will be a day when evil will no longer have its way and we will reign with Jesus Christ. See, now there is much unrighteousness and justice. Well, it's pretty fickle. But on that day when we reign with King Jesus, there will be true justice and righteousness throughout the land. This world is not our home. Now, let me remind you, let me just throw out a little commercial for what lies ahead. We are kingdom people. We serve a different realm. And the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, speaks of that. I started that gospel back in the first part of 2020, but then the pandemic came and we took a little turn. But we're going to return to the Gospel of Matthew in November, because in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is presented as king and he announces the good news of the kingdom, this new way of life with him. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to open that up. We're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount that speaks of the kingdom of God, this new life that we're part of it. But right now, I want you to remind you that because we are royal priesthood, this world's not our home. That's just one thing. The other thing that we're reminded of is simply this. We are all part of God's royal priesthood. And that is very different than being a holy priest. Now, you may not often think of yourself this way, but I want us to think of the difference. What's the difference? Well, William MacDonald put it this way.
I've got the slides all off. Sorry about that. Holy priests enter the sanctuary of heaven by faith to worship God. Royal priests go out into the world to witness of God. So think of it this way. As priests, we bring men to God. We bring men to God. And as royalty, we take God to men. Now, this is another reason I messed up the slides here, okay? I'm trying to get back on track here. There we go. That's where we need to be. Let me say this again. This is another reason why the church is the hope of the world. When we take God to people, they are allowed to see our lives. They see a different way to live in the kingdom of God. They get to see that we serve a ruler who is kind, good, and that we are part of a realm that's about justice and righteousness. And our world, you know, it's crying out for justice today. And yet we see here that as royal priests, God has made us his royal ambassadors to represent him in the world. And sometimes I think we forget this calling. I've got a mission, and you've got a mission, and we have a mission together. This is how God has made us the hope of the world, because we've got the good news of the King and the new way of living in the kingdom. And that's what makes the church the hope of the world, because we are bearers of hope. So that's the second thing the gospel changes about our relationships and what is so desperately needed in the world, because we share this common mission. But there's more that we share together. Now, here's where I had gotten ahead of us a little bit on the slides. We share a common role. So God calls us now a holy nation. In other words, we are God's new covenant community. This term, holy nation, is also an old term. It was first used of Israel in Exodus 19:6, where God gave Israel the law so that Israel, as his covenant community, might create a new kind of culture set apart from the world that is distinctly different from the world around them.
And what would make them different would be their holiness by living according to God's law. Now, however, Israel failed. Israel continually failed to obey the law and to live up to their end of their covenant obligation. And yet today, the church is God's new covenant community. And what makes us different from Israel is that God's law is now written on our hearts through our spiritual birth through the Holy Spirit. So our role as a nation, as a holy nation, is to show the world this different way to live. So then, when people look at the church, they see people who are being changed by God, transformed by God. And they see people characterized now by joy, peace, mercy, and grace. And again, this makes the church the hope of the world because our changed lives show the world that there's hope for their lives to change. Now, there's another aspect in our holy nature that God wants the world to see as well, and that's this, our unity. See, our unity of the Spirit is meant to show the world that people with diverse backgrounds can live in harmony. The church is to be the one place where a college professor can break bread with a lowly prostitute, where an ex-con can serve alongside a CEO, where a tree hugger can be friends with a computer programmer. You see, as a holy nation, God now gives us the ability to love one another, to forgive one another, to encourage one another, to live together in harmony. And this is what our world is looking for. It's what Jesus prayed for, that we would be one as He and the Father is one. And this is what the gospel produces in God's people, a new kind of community where you can be different but still belong. And it is this unity that makes the church now the hope of the world. So you're starting to kind of get this? I mean, you're starting to see why God's new creation of the church is pretty amazing? See, sometimes we forget all that God has done for us by including us and uniting us together in His body, the church. I mean, He has made us His chosen and select people, spiritual people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We share all this in common, but there's more. For the next thing we see is this. We share a common redemption. God calls us a people for His own possession. And I just have to say, man, that's pretty cool. God brought you to faith in Jesus Christ because He wanted you for His very own. That's why He redeemed you. That's why He purchased you from the marketplace of sin, so that you could be His treasured possession. Let me ask you, what's your most valuable possession? Is it your classic car, that beautiful work of art in your living room, that antique heirloom handed down to you from your grandmother? That's the idea here. This possession speaks of something acquired and treasured as one's own, a private possession. So think about this. You are God's private possession. You belong to God. You're treasured. Nothing is more valuable to God than you. Which means nothing is more valuable to God than every single person who makes up His church. And what makes you, what makes me, what makes every one of us so valuable is the price He paid for you to redeem you. Again, Peter understood this, for it was Peter that God used to write these words. God did not purchase us with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of His only Son. This is why God treasures you. He paid the highest price to redeem you. He sent His only Son into the world to pay the price to set you free, to make you His own by His own very blood. So do you see your eternal worth in God's eyes? God sent Jesus to do for you what you could not do for yourself, to set you free and make you His own. So then, if God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Again, this is why the church is the hope of the world. For every single human being longs to be loved, to be valued, to belong. And that's what God did for you through the gospel. He purchased you with the blood of Jesus so you could belong to Him forever. See, we share a common Redeemer, a common redemption. And our Redeemer's name is Jesus. This is why the church is the hope of the world. Well, finally, it all comes down to this. All these things God did for this so that we can share a common response. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. See, God did all this for us. He chose us. He made us equals with Jesus. He set us apart as His unique, holy people. He made us His treasured possession, also that now we might declare how great our God is. That we might tell the world that our good is slow to anger and rich in love, that our God is merciful and kind, that we might tell the world what God did for us that we could not do for ourselves. This is what makes us the hope of the world. For now we have a message to tell the world. We get to tell the world who God is and what He has done. And who God is and what He has done? Well, here's what He has done. He has called us out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Basically this, God changed our spiritual direction. God changed our spiritual condition. Once we were in darkness, we were slaves to sin. We were ignorant of the goodness and mercy of God. But then through Jesus, God rescued us from the realm of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. And He has now made us children of light so that we are now the light of the world. God changed who we are. He changed our spiritual condition. We're now alive to Him. Amen. Not only that, once we were a people, but now we are God's people. So God changed our spiritual status. We were once alienated from God. We were enemies of God. We didn't belong to anyone or anything. We had no spiritual standing with God. We were all alone. We were outside the camp of God, outside the family of God, outside the blessings of God. We had no access to God and no value to God. But once God turned His love toward us and adopted us through Jesus Christ, He made us His beloved and treasured possession. And finally, once we had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So God changed our spiritual destiny. See, we were by nature objects of God's wrath. Our eternal destiny was a one-way street on the highway to hell, and we had absolutely no hope. We had no power to change our destiny. Only God could do that. And He did by bestowing His mercy on us through the death of Jesus on the cross. And now, because we have received God's mercy, we have a new destiny to be with God forever as His children. And now, because of all this, because He's changed our spiritual condition, because He's changed our spiritual status, because He's changed our spiritual destiny, we get to go tell the world who God is and what He has done. And that makes us, His church, the hope of the world. We are the hope of the world. For now, we have a story to tell. We have a great God who, out of His great love, will give mercy, peace, and life to anyone who puts their trust in Jesus. This is why God saved you by His mercy and grace. This is why He included you in His church, so that now, through our message, we can bring hope to the world. And this is why His church, you and I, is the most unique community ever created. And why God made you to be part of it. So let's be who God created us to be, so that we might bring hope to the world that's so in desperate of hope today. This is who we are. This is who God says you are. The church is the hope of the world. Every single one of us in it. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank You now for Your word. Help each one of us take something away from Your word this morning to remember who we are together, how we are a unique community, not just a bunch of individuals who have a faith, but a community designed by You to make a tremendous impact and bring hope to our world. Help us to embrace our role, our part, our identity in this community, so the world might know the hope that is in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, I told you this morning that as you listen, to think about this. And so I want to now open this up for anyone to share. So I'm going to unmute you. And or you're going to have to unmute yourself. I can mute you, but I can't unmute you. So you'll have to unmute yourself. And I'm going to put you up on the screen. And if you're there, if you want to share how one thing from God's Word that encouraged you this morning, or one thing that God taught you, revealed to you, that might change how you might live. So here's your opportunity to share. And I would say this as your pastor, I'll start. The one thing, all of this text, one of the things that God taught me from preaching this, studying this, is this, is that every single person in His church is of great value. That means if He treasures you, I must treasure you. And I think that's one of the things that God is teaching me, to treasure every single one of you. You are of eternal value to God. And if you're of eternal value to God, then you are of eternal value to me. And that makes you so different in my eyes. And so that's one thing that God really spoke to me from this. But how about you? Anyone want to share?
Sure, all right, I'll start. This is Howard. And it gives me great comfort to hear this message today and realize that I'm part of the community of Jesus Christ. And I'm a work in progress. I think we all are, probably, to some extent. But I'm so happy to accepted this role that we have to play in Jesus' plan.
Excellent. We all are works in progress, and God values us even when we mess up. Thank you, Howard. Anybody else like to share this morning? How did God's Word encourage you today? What might God have you do as a result of what He revealed? Who are you? Did you take something away?
Tomorrow, because I became a follower of Jesus 3 years ago tomorrow.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. And it's such a blessing. And I have been working so hard and praying so hard for different people to come to Jesus. And I've encouraged them, I've talked to them, and I found a couple have come around. But I'm still working on the others.
All right. And that's something we should all do together. It's not just an individual thing. So
I want them to find what I have found.
Amen. Anyone else like to share? Do you feel treasured by God today? Does that make a difference for you?
Every day.
Does it make a difference that that you are royalty, that you're going to reign with Christ? Is it different that your life makes a difference how you live? Anyone else like to share this morning? You are a bunch of shy ones, that's for sure. Well, I'm going to try to continue to do this in the weeks ahead. So, you know, the one thing that's tough is that when we're online, we don't really get to see each other face to face. We get to see that outside in the parking lot. If you're encouraged this morning, if you want to respond in some way, go ahead and share. I'm just going to give one more opportunity here. Anyone? Just have to unmute yourself. All right, well, I trust that you were encouraged. I trust that you are valued and that you know that God made you part of something very extraordinary in the church. The church is the hope of the world. So let me just pray for you as I wrap this up this morning. And thank you.